I'm glad to see you all here. My name is Dima Malenko, and I'm CTO with Rollab. And I'm here to talk to you about the lessons we've learned porting over 50 desktop cloud applications to Tizen. And you know, when I was preparing for the trip and was saying, hey guys, I'm going to San Francisco to present at Tizen Developer Conference, everybody was thinking, hey, what's Tizen? And that was a really good question. You know, yesterday they gave a great answer for that Tizen is operating system of everything. But before that appeared on the side, there was a little bit different message there. Tizen is a universal open source software platform. And software platform is, I think, a couple of key words here. And let's take a moment to think about what it means to be a software platform, or more widely, a general purpose computing platform. From what I think, for modern age computing platform to be considered viable for a consumer market and be able to serve on a daily basis users and their needs, it has to have two things. First, of course, it's internet access. In our connected age, we all have to have access to the internet to check our emails, get directions, and things like that. Especially that is important for mobile devices. But another thing which makes a computing platform a truly computing platform for consumers is ability to do some sort of productivity tasks. And when we are talking about productivity tasks, first thing which comes to mind is office productivity tasks, right? Reading documents, reviewing spreadsheets, maybe creating presentations like this one for the conference. And when we are talking about office productivity solution, I have no doubt that you all know what's the most popular office productivity solution in the world. What's that?
Office.
Microsoft Office, right. With over a billion downloads throughout the history of this product, this makes this platform and solution the most popular among office productivity users in the world. Not surprisingly, the second by popularity platform is Apache OpenOffice. It has tenfold less users and downloads, but still it makes for the second most popular solution for office productivity tasks. And now let me ask you a question. How much time and effort do you think it would take to bring any of those solutions to an emerging platform like Tizen? We all know that, for example, in Microsoft case, when iPads came around in 2010, we all as users wanted Office solutions for iPad, which integrates with Office, supports all the documents and all those nice features. And what we got as a result, only in 2014, Office solution from Microsoft became available for iPad. Granted, there were some political issues and things like that, but most importantly, even Microsoft, with its enormous resources and budgets, didn't manage to provide a fully functional solution for tablets. Because it can open Office documents, but not everything which you can do in a desktop solution you can do on iPad with Microsoft Office. And let alone Apache OpenOffice, which is an open source platform, they simply don't have resources to bring their solution to every platform which appears on the market as we go forward. And at Rollab, what we did, we brought over 50 cloud desktop applications to Tizen in a little over 3 months. And I'm here today to talk to you about our experience in doing that. So what's Rollab? Rollab is a cloud applications platform. We started working on it in 2011, and right now, we support running Linux, Windows, and Java desktop applications across the range of platforms. First of all, what you can do with Rollab is you can work with any applications like OpenOffice without installing them on your desktop computer. If you've got a browser like Chrome, Safari, and Firefox, you can have OpenOffice solution in your computer. And we also have many different other applications. Of course, it works on iOS. We are on the verge of making it available for Android. And we, as I said, already have 50 application in Tizen App Store. All of our cloud applications are integrated with cloud storage like Dropbox and Google Drive, so you can get immediate access to your files stored in Dropbox to open them, review them, edit and save back even from a tiny device like Tizen. So one of the better ways to think about Rollup as a platform is YouTube for application, for applications. Our grand goal and the thing we are working on every day is to make it possible for users to work with any application on any device, regardless of for which platform, operating system, or the device the application was created. You've got a device with a web browser, you should be able to work with any application you need. That's our belief, and that's what we are working on at Rollup. A few words about Rollup. We are a Palo Alto-based startup company. We have a development team in Ukraine, so myself and Serhii, taking pictures of me, are coming from Ukraine here. We have a relatively small team of very bright developers, and we also have a great team of advisors which help us understand the strategic directions for development of the platform. We've got some backing from prominent international investors, and we, as I said, already have this technology available for quite a time. It still goes under beta label, but nevertheless, all the functions you might need, you can get from going to www.rollup.com, and it is, and from there you are a single click away from having open office and dozens of other apps in your browser. So when we are talking about desktop applications and running them on desktop computers, it's more or less obvious how you do that. You have Windows on both sides, and you can kind of imagine how it works when you are on a desktop computer. But when we are talking about the mobile platform like Tizen, iPads, or other touch-enabled devices, it's not that straightforward. For OpenOffice Calc or another desktop application to work on a touch-enabled device, it's no easy thing. But on our platforms, applications get all sorts of goodies when users interact with them on mobile platforms. Applications are fully touch-enabled. We also provide some features which are not found in desktop, like Pinch to Zoom, Calc, and all the others support Pinch to Zoom when running on Tizen and other mobile platforms. And also we recognize that working with documents and typing lots of text, it's also not an easy task for mobile users, and we try to make it as easy for them as possible with some of the features we add for the apps. Also, we recognize that with desktop applications, a lot of times you have to do like precise pointing and positioning and moving things around, because that's what we are used to when working with desktop applications. So what we developed for our mobile solution is virtual mouse mode, which you can activate. And when activated, it turns the entire surface of the device into a giant trackpad. You get the mouse cursor somewhere, and then you work with it like on your regular laptop trackpad, and that enables you to do precise editing and positioning within the documents you're about to edit. Also, desktop applications are all about the windows, and they open all sorts of different small, big windows throughout the work with them. And for mobile, we also try to put some smarts into how we display the windows and how we let users interact with them. So, for example, the model windows, which applications are open like this dialog for changing the type of the chart, would be presented as a window like this one, similar to how you would see this on desktop. But when it comes to opening another document within this Office application, it will take the entire space available to make it easier for you to see more of your document and more easier for you to work with it, review it, and edit and save back to Dropbox. As I said, all of our applications are integrated with Dropbox and Google Drive, so you can right there open the document, edit it, and save it back. So this is brief. This was a brief overview of the platform, and now the question comes to how we make it possible, how this all come together working on Tizen. And when we only started working on this project, we had to decide what would be the model for us developing those applications, because our goal was to make many, like we made 50, and that was our goal, make many applications available to users on Tizen Store. So our options were naturally the native C++ application, which gives you lots of headroom for performance optimizations and access to low-level platform features. But unfortunately for us, where we have to support multiple different platforms, that was not a very good choice, because anything we would create for Tizen would not be reusable for us on any other platform. Of course, we can. The second option was to go with native JavaScript application, and I intentionally crossed out web here, and I will talk about that later. This one was better for us, well, as we considered the option, because it allowed us to use the tool set we were using on all the rest of the platforms we support. It gave us, or promised to give, fairly easy access to the platform features and low level details, and also promised fairly good performance benefits. But still, the question remained open: how portable would that be? If we do too much of a Tizen-specific code, that wasn't the thing we want. That wasn't the route we wanted to go. And of course, the last option was to have a fully hosted web application. It was very tempting for us to go down that route, because we already have a hosted web application working on all of the platforms I mentioned. But with this one, it makes it difficult to optimize for performance. It makes it more difficult to access low-level system features, and also it makes it more difficult to get the application certified in the App Store, as I will be talking along the way. So originally, we planned to go down one of the web JavaScript application routes. And one of the better news for us at that time was that Tizen offered great support for all the WW3C standards right out of the box, even with early versions and builds of the platform. So this is like Tizen on the pre-production device, and this is iPhone on a production device, and iOS 7. And of course, it warms the heart of a developer when we see numbers like this. Support for standards is always a good thing. But unfortunately, we have to remember that standards are not always a panacea when you're trying to do some fairly low-level things. And this lesson we learned early on, even working with desktop platforms, we found out there are things which are, although kind of sort of covered by the standards, like this one, what happens when you call the window.open method in your JavaScript. And standards says, well, we don't know what happened. It depends on the implementation of a particular user agent. And what we found in our experience is that on desktop, there is at least 5 different things which can happen when you call window.open method. And with mobile, it is a little bit better. Not that many different outcomes can happen, but still there are differences. And also, there are parts which are not covered by the standards at all, especially when it comes to what you would call a non-functional specification for a certain feature, like things like related to performance or, you know, unexpected outcomes from calling certain methods. And when we started working on Tizen, one of the first lessons we learned, as I promised to tell you, why I crossed the web thing in JavaScript applications, is that web app does not equal to JavaScript mobile app, because there are things you have to do differently or in addition to what you would have in a regular mobile web application. Most notably, when you have a mobile web application, the application which user has on his device is the browser. Your application is just a content for the browser. And things and scenarios like lack of connectivity are handled by the browser. When we switch into a JavaScript mobile application world, we have to handle that ourselves. And there are many, many other things. We have to, when we want to put our application into the App Store, we have to conform to UI guidelines enforced when we submit the application to the App Store. With a web application, with a purely hosted web application, it may be a little bit difficult, or sometimes in certain scenarios it even may be impossible. Like one of the things we discovered is that for certain applications, for certain types of application, Tizen store guidelines require the application to be paused when the device goes into the sleep mode. When you're running in the browser, there is no way whatsoever for you to figure out whether the device went into the sleep mode. So you have to do something differently in order to catch this event and do something with the application, like pause it. And also, our applications integrate with third-party web services like Dropbox, Google Drive, as I mentioned. And on the web, it is all fairly easy. You just, you know, open the URL, go through registration process through the process of giving permissions to the application on Dropbox, and that brings you back into your web application. When you have a mobile web app, it doesn't work that easy. You have, again, build something around it to make this scenario possible and work seamlessly and in a way which is understandable to the user. What makes it even more difficult in our case is that we want to build cross-platform solution, but at times the cross-platform features we are thinking about and talking about are orthogonal to one another. So when we are bringing the experience of desktop, fully featured desktop application to the mobile, we want to keep all the features of the application. So when you get the spreadsheet, you can build a pivot table within it. You, when you open a spreadsheet, you get to be able to do to add a chart and do complex calculations which are possible on desktop. So we want to preserve all the features of the app in the way which is natural for the application, so that when you transition between the devices and you transition between the platforms, you get all the familiarity when working with the application you know and love. But at the same time, when you're working on a particular device, we want the experience to be natural for that device as well. And here comes like features like pinch to zoom and things like that. When you can do something in an application on a platform, we want you to be able to do that in roll app application as well. So when you switch between the apps, you kind of, again, feel natural and easy about what's going on. And in order to strike the balance between those things, what we did is we developed an architecture which looks like this. So we have a downloadable client which does all the heavy lifting of connecting to the cloud, working with the application, getting the interface and things like that. And we have very narrow platform wrapper which allows us to get access to platform-specific features which are not possible for the hosted web application. And this is how we work for Tizen. So we have this wrapper, we have downloadable client which works on any device, and it can work also in the browser. It doesn't have to have that platform wrapper available. And the platform wrapper helps us conform to UI guidelines and access some of the features of the platform which we could not get access to otherwise. In details, the platform wrapper looks like this. And this is an interesting thing, because remember I told you that when you call a window open, a whole sorts of different things can happen. And on Tizen, there are two scenarios, two things which can happen when you call a window open. If you do that in browser, the new tab will open and the URL will be loaded in the new tab. If you have a JavaScript application, when you call window open, the new window would be open and put on top of the first window, but both of them will be alive, and user would not be able to switch between them. So, and you know, when we discovered this trick, we built this architecture for Tizen Dropper. This, we have start URL which opens a file in the Tizen widget, and it has some of the methods which allow us to access a Tizen platform, and we have API. Well, I wouldn't call this an API, but a number of function calls which are available then to this page. Through this page, where we can access things in Tizen-specific APIs. There are a little of Tizen-specific code in this downloadable client, but only a couple of things. And yeah, and this is how it works. It all is possible because of the way the window open works. We have these two windows. This window is, for example, responsible for handling hardware buttons, getting sleep status events, and also it is important for determining the connectivity status of the device at the moment user wants to start the application, and then gives appropriate notifications to the user. If the connection is not available, that we do not load this window and this page, and user has to try again, try again until the connectivity will be available, and he will be able to start working with the device. And with that, we pretty much contained all the Tizen specific feature within this platform wrapper. Only a few things, as I said, are Tizen specific here, which allows us to maintain a great cross-platform compatibility of the code we write for different platforms, especially when it comes to new features we're developing, as we want them to become available across the entire range of platforms that we support. Now on to the next lesson we'll learn. And how many of you are developers here? All of us are developers. That's great. So this question would be an easy thing for you, right? What's the most popular mobile web engine of a present day? Exactly, WebKit. And one of our developers was joking about this icon for WebKit. Is it like they are trashing Safari or taking it out of the box? But you're right. WebKit is the most popular mobile browser engine of present age. And that may give you a perception that when you develop something for one platform which is WebKit-based, you would be easily able to port it to another platform which is WebKit-based. Unfortunately, that's not exactly true. They all use different versions of WebKit, which may have different bugs. And there are all sorts of things which lie beyond WebKit which might be important to your applications, like they are important to our applications. And one of the lessons we learned here is that no one platform is good approximation for any other platform. If you are developing for a specific device or plan to develop for a specific device or specific platform, you have to have that device on your hands to be able to test and see how certain things work here and there and understand how to work around certain issues and how to make the experience overall more pleasant and convenient to the user. One of the things we came across when starting development for Tizen are mentioned here. One of the things which gave us a lot of trouble was this one with keyboard. As you remember, well, maybe you remember that on one of the screenshots where the user was about to type text, there was a little icon with a keyboard which was to prompt him to tap it and open the keyboard to continue typing text. It turned out at some point that when we focus an element which can receive text input and do this from on-touch start handler, which worked fine on all of the other devices and platforms we had, it didn't work on Tizen. And we had to come up with a completely different solution on how to make the keyboard open when user clicks on that little tiny button. And performance is also a thing which you have to keep in mind when you're developing cross-platform applications. One of the things we discovered that for some situations in our code, performance of Canvas GetPixel data was subpar. And the funny thing there was that we were using we had a block of code which was meant to optimize for performance, check certain things, and then see whether we really need to carry out the operation or we can skip it. And it used the GetPixel data. And it turned out that in some cases, this optimization really made things a lot worse because of performance problems in some specific cases with GetPixel data. So you always have to keep an eye on things like that, and you can only track down those problems if you have the device in your hands. Emulators wouldn't really help you there. So always try to get the device in your hands for testing and development. Another lesson, as we all know, Tizen is still under active development. And when you have a platform which is under active development, and when you have your application which is under active development, that can be a very explosive mix when you try to make sense of what's going on. And configuration management is an absolute must for you in this case. You have to always keep track of which version of the platform was in use when you discovered certain problem with your application, which version of your application was that, and when new builds of the platform came around, you need to test whether this problem is going away, and also always try to attribute the problem to your code or maybe to some platform bugs, and hope that they will be fixed fairly soon. But configuration management is a must. You know, we all know that. And another thing is that you can always help platform developers by filing bugs, because our applications work on all sorts of very different use cases, and not always developers of the Tizen and the browser in the Tizen team can test all the different things we came up with when we developed our application. So when you found a problem and it seems like this is a problem which might be related to the platform, try to develop an isolated use case and file a bug with the vendor. But also you have to be prepared that this bug might not get fixed. So once you submit it, you should start working or coming up with workaround which would help you do your thing even in the situation when the bug is not fixed. Because quite often what seems a little tiny thing for us can be a huge thing for a platform developer, and they may choose not to fix your particular case in order to make sure that hundreds of other cases get intact and other developers are not affected by what can come up with as a result of fixing this particular thing. That's also a question which we learned later on in the process when we started submitting our applications to the Tizen store. First of all, when you have 50 applications on your hands, it's not an easy thing to upload them all to the Tizen store, make sure that descriptions and marketing materials like icons, screenshots are consistent. And, you know, one of the worst things that could happen for us those days is our designer saying, hey, guys, you know, I came up with another cute idea for the screenshots we can put on Tizen. So we have to re-upload 200 screenshots to 50 applications. But, you know, sometimes you have to go the distance to make sure your product is presented in the best possible way. Also, what makes it, I wouldn't say difficult, but different for a web developer and starting working with App Store, you get those longer cycles for the fixes and updates becoming available to your users. As web developers, we are used to, we click deploy, and then 10 seconds later, the application is available to the world, and bugs are fixed, and everybody is happy. With the app stores and apps and mobile apps, it doesn't always happen this way. You have to resubmit the application and wait until it will be approved, even if the problem was in a code, which in our case is downloaded and not physically in the wrapper. That it gets uploaded to the store, but hey, you have to live with that. Also, what makes it a little bit difficult is when you have different components on different deployment paths. In our case, the platform wrapper could be updated probably once a week if we submit it like regularly, and the rest of the code can be updated like many times a day. So, and if you have something in your code which is updated from the web, which relies on something being available from the platform wrapper, in our case, you have to have code here which would expect that the platform wrapper is not yet updated and handle the situation gracefully, like degrade the experience if certain functions are not yet available, because what may happen, not only the a new version of your application is not approved by the store, but it may be approved by the store, but the user has not yet updated. So you have the component which is on his device of an older version, and your code which is running from the web is a newer version, and you have to make them work together even in this situation. So that brings us to a summary. As I said, Rollup is a cloud application platform, and with the help of our platform, we were able to bring 50 desktop applications to Tizen, and they're all available on Tizen store already. It is great news for us developers that JavaScript has become a first-class citizen in the development landscape. It allows us to keep our skills and apply them across a wide range of platforms, but still we have to know the specifics of the platform, and there are things which are still difficult in development, even if we are using familiar tools like JavaScript, CSS, and web standards. Turning web applications which work in browsers into really high quality, good applications for mobile applications for platforms like Tizen is not an easy thing. You should not expect this to happen like this. You would have to do some work to make sure you are compatible with App Store UI guidelines and things like that, to make sure that your users will receive the experience they deserve, and that it is convenient and easy to use for them. Cross-platform toolset is good, but you have to always have the device in your hands and develop for a specific device, which makes for better user experience, more happy customers, and more revenue in the end, hopefully. And as I said, good engineering practice is never a bad thing, and you cannot have not enough of it. So follow engineering practice, especially in tight situations when the platform is changing rapidly and your application is changing rapidly, to make sure you can keep sanity and deliver the result in the end of your project. That's it. Thank you. And if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them. Thank you.
Hi. When you download some application from the Tizen App Store, basically what you are doing is deploying the same wrapper JavaScript code that points to an externally very specific version of the application you are trying to run, right?
Right. The platform wrappers are the same for all the applications, and then it points to a particular URL where where the application is actually launching. And then when you click it, it launches. It works somewhere on the server in the cloud. And what you have on your device interacts with that instance of the application and, you know, presents the user experience and allows user to interact with the app on the server. But all the 50 applications we have in the Tizen store are almost exactly the same. They are wrapped around the platform, our platform functionality.
But do you port any of the original source code, which basically is C++ most of the time, mm-hmm. to JavaScript, or
no.
just wrap around?
We just wrap around. The application is running on the server in a native environment for that application. So the application doesn't know that, well, the application itself doesn't know that it is running, that the user is coming from Tizen or iPad or Chromebook or something like that. It just runs in the environment, natural and native for the application, somewhere in the cloud. And then we do the rest of the job by making sure that what application does on the server matches what user can do, can see on the device and platform he has in his hands. And this works. Our platform is universal, so we can publish almost any application and it will just work.
So, last question.
Sure.
Do you consider using something like Emscripten or ASM.js to actually put the C++ code inside JavaScript?
No, because what we are trying to do, we do not want to port the application per se to the new platform. We want the application to work. So the scenario we are looking at is we are getting the unmodified binary from the software vendor and run it somewhere, and then users connect to this application from any device they have. So we are not looking to port the source code or the application itself to the platform. You're running application in the cloud and then let user interact with this application. But we are looking at ASM.js to do some maybe performance things to optimize the protocol for interaction between the client and the server, conserve bandwidth and do all sorts of good things, but not yet. Thanks. Oh, he was the first.
Do users have to download all the app and the application?
No. No, you just download. First of all, do not download anything at all. You can go in your web browser to Rollup's website, click launch, and you have the application running and you can do your thing in the application. In case of Tizen, what you download is the little tiny thing called OpenOffice Calc on Rollup. And that gives you interface to the calc running on the server. Well, for web applications, probably that's not the thing we are trying to do. What we are trying to do is bring, for example, in this case, desktop applications which are written in C++ and, you know, with some heavy-duty desktop technologies which are not easily portable to mobile devices, make them available to mobile users. And if you have web application, which is already JavaScript, HTML, and CSS, Rollup is probably not the good choice for you to look at for porting the application or for making it available for new platforms.
Have you tried bulk upload API?
No, not yet. We received the specification, but we didn't try. Right. This is saying about the bulk upload API for the Tizen store. Fortunately, it came a bit later than we did all the major work with the store, but we will definitely be looking at when updating, publishing new versions of the apps of the Tizen store. So one of the things we are always trying to do is make the applications work faster and more natively to the user, because when the application is running somewhere on the cloud server, we, you know, one way or another, we have some network latency. we always try to put the server close to the user, so we have many servers scattered around the world. But still we want more. And for example, right now one of the things we deal with is image formats which we can use for communication between the server and the client, and we are limited to what can be natively supported by the browser, like JPEGs and PNGs, because they can be processed really fast using the native implementations of API which are provided by the browser. But at times we know about better things we can do, but we cannot use them because implementing the algorithm in pure JavaScript will drive the performance down. So we are at times are better off sending more data, but in a format which is natively supported by the browser for fast processing on the client side, instead of sending less data, but you know, taking more time on the client side to process it. And with ASM.js, we are looking into ways to implement certain algorithms in a way which would not give us this performance hit when we try to implement computationally intensive things in pure JavaScript. That's the thing with ASM.js. But we are only early stages of experimenting with that. Right, both in back-end and front-end, you know, and all sorts of things. Okay, I guess that's it, and the next speaker is getting ready. Thanks, everybody, for coming. See you around.